Good afternoon, good morning, or whatever time you find yourself in right now. As you're watching this, we are filming this live. So, but you can probably, you will be able to watch it later at your leisure. So at this time of this coronavirus issue that is keeping people from meeting together, a lot of us are able to have a little bit more time. And because of that, here at Emmanuel Baptist Church in South El Monte, we would like to provide you with some of these biblical resources, some teaching that you might be able to ponder on and meditate upon. And with that in mind, probably one of the thickest, most interesting books to meditate upon is the book of Job. So with that in mind, I'd like us to dive into it, enjoy it, read it, set our minds on it, because it just so happens to give you a lot of food for thought, something that you can enjoy besides the headlines, besides the good news, bad news, the charts and graphs that all of us seem to be captivated by in these late days. So let's ask the Lord for His wisdom as we dive into the scriptures that He has given us to gain His wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You because You have given us gems in Your scriptures to examine, to behold, to take in to ourselves. Father, hone us, make us more like Your Son, that we may be able to appreciate and value and love that which You have given to us. We are so grateful because You are not silent. You speak in Your words. And Your scripture constantly has things for us to see, things for us to read, things for us to study. And we are always surprised, mesmerized by its beauty. We thank You, Father, for the book of Job today. And we ask, Lord, that Your Spirit would accompany us as we read from it. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's dive in, shall we? The book of Job is a book of wisdom. It's contained in the wisdom literature section of the Old Testament, of the Tanakh. And it is one of the writings that gives us insight into the worldview we're supposed to have. And so Job is one of those books. Let's read chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, or Uz, maybe is a better pronunciation, whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Then the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, touch all that he has, he will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the serpents with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job chapter 1 is the introduction to a book that is mysterious, and that is difficult, and it's multi-layered. And that is on purpose. The book of Job denies the reader the simple answers. In fact, it works to keep you from getting to the simple answers. Each of Job's friends represents some of the perspectives and points of view that many Christians might have in the face of suffering. And each one of them is systematically dismantled. And at the end, even the God himself visits them and tells them that their counsel is dark. It's darkened, darkens his own wisdom. And what that means is that God himself is the only one with the answers. And this book allows us to explore this deep trench, this trench of lament and sadness, the trench of God's dark providence. Well, in this first chapter, we might make some observations that are helpful as we understand the entire book. It is an introduction. Job might be its own genre. It has poetic passages in it. It has narrative passages. But it has its own cadence, its own style. And so we see that this man, Job, was such a righteous and wise man. He was such a man that was able to take stock and have his possessions that are numerous. He's a very wealthy person. In verse 3, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and so on. This isn't seen as a bad thing. In fact, he is so wealthy, he is so blessed because he's such a wise man, such a good person. In fact, the writer of Job is trying to emphasize his goodness, and he even has him act as a priest for his family. In verse 5, he says, the writer says, "When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning, and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did continually." This is a righteous man. Of course, Satan sees him as a perfect target. Why? Should not his goodness have kept him from suffering this? And should it not be that God would have barred Satan from doing this? But it is important to understand that the book of Job was written for our benefit, and the experience of Job is something that all of us can learn from. It's something that all of us need to ponder because of the wisdom of it gives us the complexity that we need in order to think of the things that are occurring around us. There are no easy answers in Job. And so even being good, even being commendable, perhaps the most commendable man that lived in this era, probably true because Satan obviously zeroed in on him, even being the most commendable man did not keep him from suffering the massive privations that he ended up suffering, which means that good people suffer. But it also means that God is sovereign. It says here in verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Satan answered, "Does Job fear God for nothing? You've put a hedge around about him and his house. You've blessed him. Of course he's going to love you. It's an interested love. It's a love that is beneficial to him." And that is the point. The faith of Job is tested here in a way where it is seen every aspect of that could possibly be a source of his faith is removed from him. So it is a study not on why good people suffer, though that is part of it. It is, in fact, a study of what is the essence of biblical wisdom, and how can a man live on this fallen world that tortures its residents and maintain this wisdom? Or how can this wisdom carry this man through this suffering? This trench in Scripture is dug, and we see the wisest man of this era endure this test, this trial. He suffers the loss of his family. The Sabaeans attacked and took them. The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels. And then finally, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. I alone have escaped to tell you three times, three horrible things happened. And look at this in verse 16, while he was still speaking, another came. Verse 17, while he was still speaking, another came. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, another also came. We see then that these calamities, these great evils, fall upon Job, one after another, so that his life takes a precipitous fall. He is devastated immediately within minutes. And Job's response, the wisest man on earth, when everything is taken from him. In verse 21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. When his children have perished, when his wealth has been destroyed, when he has been lowered to the depths, even so, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is biblical wisdom. Verse 22 sets the stage for what the rest of the book tells us. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. If we take that concept, that idea, the fact that Job did not sin throughout the rest of this book, it's true. He's part of fallen humanity. Of course Job sinned at some point, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the author of this book wants to tell us that's not what this book is about. It's not because Job sinned that this calamity fell upon him. So we need to take that out of the considerations of why Job suffers, and we then need to focus on what this book is about. Suffering is because of sin is not a good explanation. What is this suffering about? It is about the endurance of biblical wisdom. and what kind of endurance it produces in a man, in a mere man. And in the end, of course, the kind of endurance it produced in the Son of Man, in the Son of God. For you see, the trench that the book of Job digs is set there, it's left there, and the next man who endures this kind of suffering is Christ himself. Oh yes, Job has a great place in the path of redemption. And so Christ himself walks this whole. He is thrown into the same pit, separated from family, everything taken from him. And through all this, Christ did not sin or blame God. And that's what we'll look at some more as we continue on these studies. Sit and meditate on the book of Job. Read it carefully and enjoy its literary quality. It is beautiful on purpose. It ought to be a song in your mind. And it ought to take your mind to scripture and to the literary quality of it for you to enjoy. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. Set our minds on the things above. Let us enjoy your presence evermore. In your name we pray. Amen.